This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel it.
Talk about entrepreneurship today. We've got an entrepreneur today in the building. He goes by the name of Zandile Khumalo, 29 years of age, and Zandile calls herself an agripreneur. I am yet to find out what this word means. Zandile has an avid interest in the environment, and she's the founder and CEO of High Harvest. Well, hello, Harvest. Hey, Khumalo's co-owned farm called Neighbor Roots is neatly situated on top of Sandton's Morningside Shopping Center, and she grows a variety of fresh vegetables such as your lettuce, your baby spinach, and your variety of herbs. She also sells her produce to several restaurants and businesses on the floors below her, as well as in surrounding areas. Zandile, welcome to the Main Switch. How you doing?
Thank you very much. You're welcome. And I'm doing great.
It's funny, you know, off air, Zandile, you were so hyper. And now,
the microphone is on.
The camera light's on.
Don't be scared. We got you. We got you. So, can you tell us what is hydroponics farming? Let's start there.
Basically, hydroponic farming is feeding your nutrient water directly to the roots of the plant.
Okay.
And it all began with the thought of people coming together, basically I could say scientists coming together and asking themselves, what do plants need? Mm-hmm. How do plants grow? And they came up to an answer saying that they only need nutrient water and a medium to grow in so that they can grow up into their optimum best. Okay. So basically that is hydroponics and just farming in water, soillessly.
All right, so before we get deeper into that, I want to know, agripreneur, where does that come from? That is a really sexy word, more than entrepreneur, actually. I'm sorry.
So, agripreneur, I guess, I really don't know how it came up. It just became a trend of a word, but it's basically agriculture entrepreneurs. So we wanted to be different, not to be just called agriculture farmers or farmers. So we decided to call ourselves agripreneur. And basically, I like to say we are agri-tech-preneurs because we are agricultural people who are doing technical techniques in the farming sector.
That too. We cannot leave technology out of it, indeed. Yeah. And where did you come from, Zandile? And I'm asking this question particularly because I'm interested if your hometown or where you come from played any kind of role in the industry that you are in right now. You know, were you a kind of child who had, like, a garden, you know, in the backyard? You know, was your grandmother involved and was the one always sending you good, you know, that kind of thing. Just give us a picture of your upbringing and where exactly it was.
When I was young, I was born and bred in Soweto. Yes. So then, when I started my high school, we moved into the Vaal.
Okay.
And the exposure of farming then started happening because we all know that the Vaal Triangle is known for its farming and different types of farming, but traditional farming type of way.
Yeah.
And because then I actually didn't start off just being a farmer, you know. I started off volunteering a lot into informal settlements, moving into leadership programs, trying to shift the younger mindset into how to become a leader, how can you become a better role in your community. Because the community I come from, it's surrounded by informal settlements. Okay. It is a, I could say, semi-urban, peri-urban area. So it's more of a little bit of rural inside, and people live a little bit of backwards compared to Soweto life and Joburg life.
Yeah.
And then leadership played a huge role there. I'm a person who gives a lot. I'm a person who cares about the community. But starting to see how your surrounding is and people do not understanding the mechanism behind of how to make your own food because of the suffering that they were having in terms of food, I then decided at age 20 saying that, let me start planting food. But the biggest role that added onto that was that at home we couldn't afford vegetables. And I was like, but vegetables are something that we can grow in the backyard, you know?
Yeah.
And with that, I said to my mom, let's let's start now planting and let's start procuring for ourselves. And that whole idea grew into a zero hunger campaign for my community.
Zero hunger. Okay.
So from there on, I started realizing that there's a little bit of need to know, because you are young, you are starting a new venture, and you're finding yourself that you need a little bit of mentorship. That's where youngsters, if someone wants to go into farming, should understand to go into. You need some guidance, you need some mentorship, you need someone who's going to be there to let you know or tell you where you're going wrong. Yeah. You know, some others, authors would read other books just to get mentorship, to understand where they're going.
Yeah.
And that's the same mechanism I was using. But I was in varsity doing analytical chemistry, and you know, but then growing vegetables was always my passion. I went into that. Then from there on, I started realizing that farming is done by elderly people.
Yeah.
There is no use.
Hey? Yeah.
We do not want farming as youngsters. We want to be in offices.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. Suit and ties. Yeah.
A lot of youngsters, when you ask them, what is a farmer? They would like, it's a person who holds a fork or a spade with some overalls and
field.
A straw hat
yeah.
in the field yeah. and a huge field. And it's like, but I don't think that's where a lot of youngsters want to go.
Mm.
How can we entice youngsters into farming? How can we change the mindset of how they think about farming?
I love that.
And through my research, I found that there's hydroponic, and that's how then I could be able to incorporate technology, incorporate your chemistry, incorporate your physics, and be able to incorporate your economic sciences, your natural science within the farming sector.
Mm.
And that played a huge role to say that youngsters can actually play different roles when it comes to hydroponic. Mm. And I went for it. 2019, built my first hydroponic farm with Vale University of Technology.
Oh, yeah?
My core of opening these businesses was to become a part with schools, make sure that they understand that there is type of technologies in farming. So went to Vale University of Technology, partnered with them, built the first farm, hydroponic, which is a vertical farm.
Mm.
And then now the second farm, which is done with the Neighbor Roots, which is Neighbor Roots done with the co-founders of the shopping center Morningside, who's Flanagan and Jared, and therefore, but we collaborated with the Red Hill School there.
Okay.
And now we've collaborated with another school. We went back to Soweto so that we can be able to also expose Soweto people into this type of farming, and that school is Pace School.
So, you know, this is brilliant.
Huge as well.
We need more young people like yourself.
Yeah. Zondile, we see that your clients, high-end restaurants, so tell us how some of those relationships were formed.
Hey, that one came with an angle of when COVID started.
Okay.
Yeah.
COVID started in 2020, and we all got a shock of our life, especially us farmers who supply local restaurants, and people had to close down. And when they reopen, the question now is where they're going to get their foods, because a lot of farmers had fallen off. And vegetables now, they've gone up. Some other vegetables are not ready to be in the market. And we decided to say, what can we do to make things easier for restaurants, bring food closer to the market? And besides that, you know, the other core thing that we looked at was the climate, the way that the world is going in terms of climate change.
Mm.
How can we also play a huge role when it comes to the climate and the environment? And if we are to bring food closer to the market, it eliminates emissions. You know, I'm a carbon footprint analyst. I've been through that phase.
Okay.
So the understanding of how we can play a role within the environment, that's how I was able to just balance the two. And I was like, okay, my shopping site, Morning Center, is a high-end restaurants, which then they use a lot of their dining restaurants, which use a lot of perishable vegetables like your lettuce, like your baby spinach, your most of your leafy greens. And if we are to bring it closer to there, it's a strategic marketing plan.
Mm.
And that's how we got into that partnership, and that's how we ended up on the rooftop. And then makes it easier that we sell all our vegetables into the shopping center, just straight down, and they get them on the same day as they place an order, and they can order exactly what is needed to reduce also on the wastage, of which is mostly what's happening when it comes to the restaurants.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to take in. So please just tell us some of the benefits from hydroponic farming.
The benefits of hydroponic farming.
Hydro, yes.
No, don't worry. People call it hydroponic. You know, it's normal. The greatest benefits about it is that you can yield much more better.
Mm.
It's a precise intensive farming, and you can be able to measure your yield, you can measure your quantity, you can measure your work within the farming industry. So you can go up to about 90% yielding compared to traditional farming. You can also save on water. We save about 80% of our water because we recycle our water in our farm throughout the period of the growth of the plant. And you can actually have a shorter time to grow your vegetables. And you can be able to plan it well, where you can grow it in a manner of 4 weeks, because our lettuce grows in 4 to 6 weeks compared to traditional farming, which grows for like 2 months.
So then
restaurants are finding it great in that manner that they can get their vegetables consistently. You can become a consistent small-scale farmer. You can farm in small spaces, of which that's one of the key greatest things about farming, that you can put it on the concrete, you can put it on your pavement, you can put it where traditional farmers can't plant, you know, that they can't plant on rocky places. So they can actually build a hydroponic farm there and be able to use their entire land instead of just a piece or a portion where it says, here's where we can become arable.
Mm.
So that's one of the greatest things about hydroponics.
Listen, I want to extend the hour of the show.
Yay!
Because I've got so many questions to ask you, Zandile. So many. Are you currently involved in assisting other young people also enter into the farming industry? I mean, you mentioned that you were building the first farm in 2019, and you said that so casually. That's big. Congratulations, Zandile.
Thank you. That's really big.
Any other ways in which you are helping young people really enter the farming industry? And just so they know that it's not as glamorous, really, as it looks, you know? Yeah.
In helping youngsters, we're still working on it and making it more formally, more in terms of writing manuals so that they can be able to understand what hydroponic is and being able to take them through how farming is done. But for now, I have one volunteer, a lady that comes and volunteers to come check out the farm, to come learning, because her view and her vision is to be able to become eventually a hydroponic farmer. So I always tell her that start small. Buy a small system, because there are guys out there who are selling small systems. I've partnered with some of them, of which they do come to my farm, view, and then they would go and just buy a small system so that they can just get that upstart and knowledge of how hydroponic is. And people sometimes, they ask me on Twitter as to how to go about with this whole scenario of how do you become a hydroponic farmer.
Yeah.
It is not easy, because the expense and the entry expense for it is high.
Mm.
Hence, then it takes so much time for people to move from traditional farming to hydroponic farming. It is highly intensive, and it's got high requirement demands, because your electricity is supposed to be there 24/7.
Ah, makes sense.
You can't go out of electricity and blame Cyril.
I was just about to say, in a country where we are experiencing so much load shedding.
Yes.
Yay.
So you need to be always connected to your solar, you need to always to be connected to your generator, or something of a sort. But you need to always have electricity, you need to always have water. That's why there's always reservoirs. So the entry level is very high. So starting small and understanding and building yourself up into that, it will make your life much more easier, because with experience, then funders and investors can actually gain the attraction to believe who you are, to start understanding that you understand what you're doing. Because with this climate change, we are losing out on investment in terms of us farmers, because of the 20 million, and then you're farming in an open field, and the question is, what's going to happen when a hailstorm comes?
Mm.
And where is my cash? You know, return on investment. Hence, farming needs patience. Farming needs a lot of understanding, and you to be able to say, I can push throughout the challenges that I'll be facing.
5 minutes to 9 o'clock. We are in conversation with Zandile Khumalo, who is an agripreneur, for our edition today of Young Minds in Business. And before I let you go, I have to ask you this question, right? Living in the concrete jungle of Sandton, where towering buildings almost press up, Zandile, against each other, you know, nature can feel like somewhat of a distant concept. So just briefly, before we let you go, how did you manage to cement yourself and get recognized?
Sure.
Recognition is not easy.
I'm giving you an hour for that.
Yeah, you need an hour.
Just briefly, just touch and go on that one, please.
Okay, to get yourself recognized, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. I could say it's luck. Because I posted once, it was the first time I opened a Twitter account, and I posted about hydroponic farming in Sandton, and it just went trending. Mm. And I couldn't believe it. Everybody liked what youngsters are doing. I guess it was the time.
Yeah.
The timing was right, I could say. But if you're doing something with all your heart and your might, the whole forces around you would come towards you to give you and uplift you to where you want to be.
Mm.
So I'd like to say that could be the philosophy, but for me it was luck, just honestly, for me to be trending on Twitter.
Okay, if you say so. And speaking of Twitter, can you please give us your Twitter account, your Instagram account, so that people who are interested about how your findings can come to you and ask you, and you can let them know what it is.
What's up?
I like to keep things simple.
Okay.
On all of them, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook, I'm Zandile Khumalo. And you can check out Neighbor Roots. You'll still find us through that. And also check out High Harvest. You will find us through that. And then follow us and let's have a chat about hydroponics.
Listen, oh, yeah. I'm going to be your first follower because I'm interested in this one. Seriously. Zandile, thank you so much for joining us on The Main Switch. We love what you do. Please continue doing it. And we hope to see High Harvest and Neighbor Roots every single way, okay, in Johannesburg. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me, Khumutsa. Thank you. I appreciate it, Val.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or stream via www.valfm.co.za.